You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at wpcouncil.org.
Yep.
Now, troll on in.
Whoa. Troll on in and catch something you're supposed to say. All right, well, listen, if you catch something in a tournament, it's always nice to hook up with our friend Ron Hill. And, you know, it dawned on me when we were going to put this show together that this is the time of the year where there are tournaments. And many of them, and many of you all have tournaments that are annual affairs that are done, you know, like on Father's Day weekend, which just passed, and some of the other things. So that got my attention because I know that part of the council's job, if you will, is to talk about assessments and finding out how and if these are valuable. We got Chris Hawkins and Josh Jamello here, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. First, Josh, we're going to start with you because you're sort of more on the recreational side. I think in a tournament, you know, people got to tell you where they're fishing and what they're catching, and they're giving up information that maybe if you're looking at it from somewhere else, they're not willing to give up. In other words, is this a good source?
I think tournaments are a great source of data because they're actually measuring the fish, weighing the fish.
Yeah.
They know what species they're after. So it does provide a source of data that can be used for something.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, it may help with certain of the fish, right? Maybe like most of these tournaments are pelagic, right? We're going to go after Mai Mai, Ono Ahi, and Marlin. And yet, with all of those boats in the water at the same time, and I want to bring Chris Hawkins in because, Chris, you said something off the air which is important. Data is only good so long as where it's collected and how it's collected. So something that's happening at the same time of the year every year or maybe on the same day of the year every year, is that a value?
I think it adds a lot more value if it's a long-standing tournament that happens sort of the same week and the same same week, year in and year out, has the same sort of largely the same number of boats fishing the same kind of way in the same area. You have some long-term trends that, at least for that tournament, and in that part of the coast and in those type of fishermen, allows you to look at some trends. But
yeah, you know, but what's kind of interesting that you say that is because a lot of these tournament guys, they think, oh, yeah, this has been running for like a long time, 5 years. I know that in the big picture, you guys got to look at, you know, longer spans for the information to be valuable.
Depending on what kind of information, yeah. If you're looking at trends and abundance and, you know, catchability and catch per unit effort and all of that, then you do need some longer trends. But, you know, Josh mentioned off the air, too, that that there's a lot of valuable information that can be gained by just those fish coming out of the water, that a lot of the biosampling, we call it, where they're pulling out their otoliths, their ear bones, to see how they're aging, things like that. Those are a great use of fish.
I know that a lot of the things that happened in the 163rd meeting that just concluded in Honolulu, that a lot of these things were happening, you know, far away from us in the fishery, and yet this data gathering and this statistics is ringing maybe is some of the most important ingredients in what you all do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, we really do value the partnership with the fishermen on these tournaments, especially, and we get asked a lot, or it gets pointed out to us that there are a lot of these data sets. The charter desk at Honokahau Harbor has a long-standing data set. You can look at it monthly or weekly, even over years and years, and it gets pointed out to us that these data are available, and why aren't we using it? And so I think part of the reason Josh and I are here today is to talk a little bit more about the conditions, when the conditions are right for using those types of data, maybe ways in which we can improve the data to use them more often.
Yeah, great point. And, you know, Josh, I think we've talked about it before. There are certain places, like Chris said, Honokau is one that's great, the charter desk. Maui in Malaya and Lahaina have, like, Donnell Tate and some of the other guys that keep these pretty good records. Hawaii Fishing News, our program that we, and certainly these tournaments. But it seems that the thing that I get from Chris is that you got to have this repetition, you know, so that it's a value. And you mentioned off the air, and maybe we can sort of standardize a way of what information is the most important in a tournament.
And that's probably the key to the data collection for all of these tournaments. They collect a lot of data. There's there's a long-term data source. And not just from tournaments, from fishing clubs and their own club tournaments. They have all this data, but are they collecting the right data that can be used for something like a stock assessment.
Yeah, maybe maybe some simple form can be developed. And we can say, hey, here you guys, fill this out. But what you know, one thing you say is important, and I'm asking this. For instance, some of the yacht clubs, Hawaii Yacht Club, for an example, they have tournaments during the summer like every weekend, but there's only a handful of players in it. At what point in time does information be valuable?
I think all of that data is valuable, but it really depends on what you want to use it for. If you want to know what fish are in the area, you can have five guys fishing in that area, and it can tell you what fish are in that area. Mm-hmm. May not be able to tell you the abundance or how likely you are to catch it, but at least you'll know what is in that part of the ocean.
Well, I gleaned out of the meeting, and I'm sure you did too, that there are some really interesting people in, okay, what is being caught? What is, you know, as an example, even though it's not tournament related, let's talk about bottom fish for a second, because based on data, the bottom fish catch limits were altered for the next couple of years going forward to keep sustainability. Can you got to explain that, because there's some fishermen out there that are going to be a little resentful that their number got cut back. But what is the reason for that?
So at this last council meeting, the council recommended a bottom fish annual catch limit to be phased into a overfishing control of around 30% probability of overfishing. And instead of taking that hit all next year,
it spread out a little bit,
right?
Anyway, yeah.
So we're going to work towards it. So instead, at that level, it would be 306,000 pounds.
Right.
Instead of taking that hit next year, we're going to delay it until 2017-18, and we're going to phase in. So each year, it'll go further and further down.
Yeah, it did actually, a couple years ago, either increase a little bit or stay the same. A lot of fishermen were worried about giving this information is going to reduce it. It didn't.
Right, you know, and data is that double-edged sword.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't give data, you're going to have to manage on what data is available.
Question for Chris would be, what about when you got this data and you have made a change, a reduction in catches or whatever, what about it going back in the other direction? What would be some of the indicators to you that collect this information be to say, okay, we are at 306,000, looks like we can go back up to 320?
Well, the fishermen, first of all, have been really integral over the last several months in this issue that you're talking about, the bottom fish issue. They've really brought their expertise to the table at the scientific and statistical committee meetings, at the council meetings, and at some of the working group meetings we've had. In terms of what would make it go the other way, I mean, there's just a lot that goes into the stock assessments themselves. There's a lot that the Science Center does, the Pacific Islands Fisheries Science Center. There's a lot of information that the fishermen bring to the table to try to understand it. I think the biggest thing that we're trying to do is to reduce the uncertainty around the numbers, around the information that we bring in. And I think that that's where we're going to see the biggest gains, is that with the fishermen's expertise and bringing in where they're fishing and how they're fishing, and improving the calculations. We talk about things like line hours, in doing a better job with not just...
In other words, eliminating travel time.
Exactly.
Kind of stuff,
so
right?
Those are the things that we're going to be looking to improve to hopefully see some better outcomes in terms of how much the total allowable catch is going to be in the bottom fish fishery.
You know, I think what's important, and I was guilty of this back in the day, I think I admitted this begrudgingly to Josh at a previous meeting, and that was you get a postcard from the DLNR or from fisheries saying, hey, your reports are 5 months delinquent. You know, so you get the carbon paper out and you put it in between, you put no fishing. Actually, it is kind of user-friendly now. I mean, this reporting that we're talking about, especially for the commercial guys, pretty easy to do. So that must mean it becomes more valuable to you because there's more of it.
And it's certainly quicker. You know, the interesting thing about the numbers in terms of the catch and the effort, if you look... you might look a couple of years from now, and they're still changing because somebody finds some kind of a report that they forgot to submit. They send it in, and the data folks could duly go in and add those information in. And so, the quicker we get it, and the more accurate it is, the quicker we're able to respond to and make better management decisions.
Yeah, and you know, Josh, we've talked about this, and we need to reiterate this so that listeners understand. This information is for the council to use to make quantitative decisions on sustainability and catching. It's not to to send a copy to the IRS and say that Joe Blow and Waipahu caught 400 pounds of ahi. That isn't it at all. There is some resistance to that. Is it starting to go away? Are people starting to realize that what we're saying at the council level is pretty true with regards of how the info is being used?
I think so. I think that fishermen are starting to realize how important the data is and how important it is to report correctly on your forms and to look at some of that data, like Chris said, the line hours instead of your travel time, and putting specific information instead of just, oh, generally I caught an ahi or I just caught bottom fish, you know, down to the species level. It does make a difference in the long run.
Yeah, interestingly enough, you know, for a net fisherman nowadays, they're restricted to soak time, length of net, and all of that kind of stuff. So it's proven that you can't keep taking the same quantity out of that area and expect to go back with your 10,000 feet of net and catch any fish.
Right.
You know, so maybe what I'm getting to try to get to here to make sure that we put a cap on what the reason for this segment is to be forthcoming with your information, number one, but also maybe realizing that the way it's collected, Chris, is that, you know, I mean, people got to know that too, to know that just saying I caught an ahi like Justin is not enough.
They do. And, you know, the council at the March meeting this past March, we put on a fishers forum about stock assessment. And I think the purpose of that was really to get at these questions, because fishermen do, I think, rightly say we've got all of this data from these tournaments and from other things that we do, and it's not being used. And there's a reason sometimes that they can't use some of these data for stock assessments. And hopefully we can improve that, and we can bring some of it in. But I think, as Josh said and as I said, there are a number of other ways in which we can use these data. And I think what we probably need to sort of sit down with, and we've been talking about this for a couple of years, is looking at all of the tournaments, maybe talking to the tournament organizers, understanding their data collection. Do they vary it year after year? You know, a lot of these things are volunteer. So does Jim create his own form for the tournament to collect certain data 1 year, and then Bob creates the form next year because he's in charge of it? We need to understand these things and sit down and understand where the data might be useful, and bring in the scientists from the Science Center to understand how they might participate in these tournaments in terms of biosampling and collecting length and weight data and all of those things. Because, as Josh said, there are really a lot of great data being collected, and there's a lot of ways in which we could use it that we're not using it right now.
Yeah, and you know, Josh, going back to that, is I know that some places, like Ahi Fever, for instance, certainly the Haleiwa Hanapau, which is going on as we speak, they have a roundup where they go, you know, 000, you know, strike, hookups, and boated. And that's pretty good. And then at the end of the day, at least in a tournament, every fish gets weighed, unless somebody knows that they're not in it. But at least they called in, they caught a 12-pound mai mai. So maybe that anybody that's contemplating doing a tournament would be wise to go to some of the other clubs and say, how did you keep your data? Because some of this might be valuable to somebody down the road.
Especially if they're going to hold a tournament that is similar to another tournament.
Yeah.
So something like Ahi Fever that was held, see what kind of data they collected, so that if you're going to replicate that same kind of idea, you're collecting from the same data form or from the same data field, so that it can be comparable from year to year.
Yeah, and I think, you know, thank goodness that it is. And I think the way I want to sort of end this is to make sure that those of you that are enjoying these tournaments realize the importance of being able to share the information. It's interesting that nobody will tell you, right, Josh, what colors are working for them or where they catch their ono on the ledge. But in a big grid, they'll say, well, I caught it in papa or kilo or whatever, and it weighed 40 pounds. We don't care how you caught it. We just want to know that you caught it.
Right, and it's always about having enough fish so that you can keep going fishing.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so in the final sense of the word, before we wrap up, if you were able, Chris Hawkins, to say to put out a plea as to how to, if at least even on a temporary basis, gather and keep this information, because we might be able to use it on the road.
I would say two quick things. The first thing I would say is, I think Josh had a great idea, is that we can help the tournament organizers and the boat clubs work together to try to standardize their data collection forms. That may be a huge step forward, because then you don't just have data from one part of one island, because that's where the tournament is. You may be able to really multiply the power of those data collection efforts to be comparable. I think the other thing, you know, just to mention, and we've talked about this before when I've been on the show, is the importance of getting good, accurate data. The fishermen are being regulated right now on data that's not particularly good. And so we've seen time and time again where the outcomes have been better for fishermen when the managers know more. And in the bottom fish fishery is a prime example. Right now, the bottom fish fishermen are seeing good catches, big fish out there. The folks who know how to catch them, obviously, bottom fishing in Hawaii is a very technically challenging.
Yeah, it's by no means automatic.
So we hear them. They come to the council and they say, we're catching a lot of fish and we're catching big ones. We need to know that because that tells us something, right? That tells us they're there. That tells us they're out there, and that a fishery that stretches back more than 100 years is still producing big ones. If they're not telling us and they're not reporting, how do we use that information or know it?
Yeah, I think that maybe, Josh, also from you to wind up, is that these guys have a unique opportunity. The tournament guys have an opportunity to really participate in valuable stuff, and it's no extra effort than they're already taking.
Right. And I think that's the key. Participate.
Yep. Okay. Well, listen, hopefully you got something out of this. We want to thank Chris Hawkins and Josh DeMello. Also, Rod Hill Jr. from the North Shore Hanapa. Good luck to all you anglers out there this weekend. The Friday and Saturday. Maybe you fished it yesterday. Hope you caught something. And if you'd like to hear something on the show, by the way, you can drop me a line. TheMikeBuckShow@AOL.com. TheMikeBuckShow@AOL.com. Have a great rest of your weekend. Until next time, tight lines, sharp hooks, following seas, big bites.